That's right, we're back. We're back, Tim, with another podcast. And today we're talking about a Christian movie.
We are. That's what we do. That's what I do. That's what I do all the time, nonstop.
I know people come here for a certain thing. They like the funny stuff we do. They like the segments.
Do they?
Or they're like my mom, and this is just like their way of supporting, is listening. I like to also offer a little something at the top, because I have these questions and you're a good person. And maybe this becomes its own whole segment of the podcast. But I'm wondering from you, how long do you stay on hold? Like, how long will you hold for, like, a friend that's, like, on the phone with you and they're like, oh, hold on one second?
Oddly enough, the friends, I stay on hold way less for the friends. If you put me on hold, I'm hanging up.
You're done, right?
Yeah.
Okay, because I feel that way, and sometimes I accidentally miss, like,
I just pretend, like, if you're like, hey, seriously, I just need to answer, it's my wife, I need to tell her no or yes, and then I'm hanging, okay, I might stick around for longer than 5 seconds, but I'm hanging up.
It's like a 5 second.
Yeah.
It's happened the other day, and I was like,
it's not like
I have a zero tolerance for this. Yeah, like, call me back.
Right. It's not like the old days where you had to dial an operator and they had to plug you through and patch you in. And I'm like, no.
You didn't hit 10-10-220 to make this phone call.
No, just actually, the way the iPhone works is you hit the green call button one more time. All you have to do is hit it again, and it calls the last person you just talked to.
I just never experienced this. Somebody was like, hold on 1 second. And I was like, my head was like, no. My answer is no. Now, if I'm on hold with, like, the power company, trying to get my power.
Oh, right. Oh, for sure. Yeah. I'm like, getting a snack. I'm doing whatever I need to. Whatever. I'll shove my kids in a closet to keep them safe. Like, right. That kind of thing. It's like, yeah, they're not calling you back.
Friends, it's like, no. If you got to put me on hold,
no,
I'm out.
I'm done.
Phone call conversation. Done.
We might not be friends anymore.
The friendship might be done after that.
If you said I had to stay on hold, I would say we're not friends.
Well, I won't put the listeners on hold any longer, and we can jump right into this motion picture we're talking about today.
Oh, yeah, let's do it.
We're getting right into I was trying to think of an old-timey way to say movies. And I want to say...
pictures.
The pictures. I want to say, like, flickies was what came to mind, and I don't think that's anything.
Yeah, I don't...
Talkies.
Talkies
is what I was trying to think of. Yeah,
flickies aren't... I don't know what it could be, but
an off-brand paper football game, maybe?
Oh, I hope so. Flickies? I was going to Urban Dictionary it.
Oh, I wouldn't ever do that. Let's get into our talkie today. Before we do, let's not rush. Christian Movies Are Funny is the name of the segment. I'm Anthony Russo. You're Tim Wyckoff.
Oh, yeah.
That's what we do. We discuss Christian movies. Today, we're talking about the 2008 comedy musical sensation, Sunday School Musical.
Sunday School Musical. The Sunday School Musical that never took place in any Sunday school whatsoever.
No.
Nope.
No, Sunday school
I don't think anything happened on a Sunday.
Not invited. So many questions.
Not that they were making a play on the High School Musical thing or anything.
No.
Not that they wrote the movie after they had the name of it.
It wouldn't be a Christian thing to, like, bite off something adjacent and just make it totally, you know. A breadcrumb and fish is what they were going to put on the shirt.
Mm-hmm.
Abercrombie and Fitch. That was disconnected.
Yeah.
There's two things are not related.
No, they're just riding the High School Musical coattails like Zendaya riding a sandworm. Am I right?
Oh! God. Have you seen Dune?
Yeah, I saw this Dune and Dune 2.
I heard Dune 2 is amazing.
It's great.
Speaking of movies, this is on brand.
Yeah, to go from Dune 2 to this.
I was like, I have it written down. We had a conversation yesterday to get caught up on the Dune franchise.
Well.
I heard Dune 1 was like kind of missable.
What?
That's what I heard. I didn't see it.
No. What are you nuts?
The feedback I got from my trusted sources.
You need to trust different people.
I heard Dune 2 was like out of this world.
Those trusted sources would put you on hold in a second.
It would no longer be trusted.
I know those people.
Sunday School Musical came out in 2008. Can you tell us anything else about the film, Tim?
Directed and written by Rachel Lee Goldenberg, also written by Ashley Holloway. It stars Chris Chapman as Zachary. And
yeah, it does.
Chrisley Connor. Yeah, as Andrea.
Dre.
And then Dre, as I like to call her. And then Candace Lakota as Savannah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of, there's a Anita, Savannah, Andrea. A lot of Oz in the names.
Chris.
And music by Don Raymond. One of the things that is the most shocking is if you go to the like top cast, you can go to like the on IMDb, go to like the all cast and crew.
Mm-hmm.
And there are like 100 listings for like extra persons. Like it's unbelievable.
On this movie?
On this movie, yeah. All like the background people. They're listed as like background persons.
Yes.
There's more on this than I think any other movie I've
done. Doing their paperwork, making sure every person got their credit on IMDb.
There's one, two, three, like we got 11 people here for the Crossroads choir member, and then like background person. I'm not kidding. I'm scrolling down. There are 100 people listed here as background people. And I like how IMDb does it too, where there's like Mike Dacry. He's a background person as Mike Dacry. Oh, is that the role he was playing?
Did any background people build a character? Like, does anybody have a different name in there?
Right. There's nobody has a different name. They're all playing themselves with no speaking lines. So I love it.
My name's Tom Mystery. Yeah, I was in the background of that one choir scene, but.
Yeah, but.
I was a vagabond. No one knew where I came from.
Yeah, so that's the technical stuff. you know, yeah, there's a lot going on.
There's here. So much to discuss. Mm-hmm. We were texting as we watched the movie and had to say we got to stop texting
because
we're talking on the podcast.
I have notes in here like as I was going along like certain people need to be fired. at one point I said, like just the scene of Savannah and her dad arguing in her room was so brutal. It was painful to watch.
Right.
And then there's one where like I literally wrote a note that was like, I can't believe I have another hour of this movie to go. That's the only note I had. IMDb says about this movie, I don't know if you want the synopsis.
Let's talk a little bit at synopsis. Again, when we do these type of things, we know a lot of people saw it when it came out. We know I'm sure it was a smash. I didn't look up revenue. But a lot of you did see it, so be patient with us as we talk through for those that didn't see it, mm-hmm. so they don't feel lost in the pod. Okay, mm-hmm. Tim, go ahead.
Yeah. When financial woes threaten their church's future, a group of teens led by one talented performer enters a song and dance competition in hopes of winning a heavenly cash prize.
Hey!
Yep.
I like that.
Yep. Treasures in heaven.
Treasures in heaven. I have a little bit more of a synopsis that I will talk through just to kind of help people get the full picture before we go and do our spoilers and things. So
yeah.
I'll say a couple things during this segment like we usually do. One, we like to make things. We like to create things.
Mm-hmm.
We don't ever want the nature of what we do to be something that talks people out of creating things.
Right.
Like this is, you made a thing. That's great. That's got value in and of itself to make a cool, fun, interesting thing is awesome. It's a fun undertaking. Every one of those quote-unquote background people, there are no small roles. I hate that title. Every one of those people had a great day shooting, and it was a lovely thing. So, you know, anytime we do these things, we like to shout out people for undertaking a big creative project and doing it, and we want to see more of that. That's what we are about. What we do here on the pod, Tim... We consume and discuss.
That's right, we do.
We consumed the content that was created, mm-hmm. and now we're going to discuss it together as friends, and we're going to invite our friends, the listeners.
Yeah, it's what little baby Jesus would have wanted.
It's part of it. It's part of the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Also, if you intend to watch this movie without spoilers, I feel like now's a time you could pause.
Just pause.
Movie's available for free on Tubi. We always put that link in the show notes. You can go watch it. Right now.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you're still listening, you're okay with spoilers.
Mm-hmm.
We gave you your shot.
Or welcome back.
You did it. We've been on pause for an hour and a half.
We've been on hold.
We were on hold. Full circle. All right. Here's a rundown with spoilers. Christian movies are funny. Sunday School Musical. Before becoming the musical superstar we know and love today, Bruno Mars was just a kid. Kid like everyone else. And his friends called him Zachary. Zachary's preparing to lead his choir to the state competition against the choir from Crossroads, an experimental Christian school across town that considers it essential for students to learn how to make fortune cookies before they graduate. Zach's whole world gets flipped, turned upside down when he and his family are sent to live with their aunt after his mom suddenly loses her job. It takes a while for Zach to process this, but with a little help from his knowledge of movement therapy and a secret roof access, he finally decides to take on this new adventure. Zach's making new friends, making progress with a new choir, and making treats nobody wants to eat in his home ec class when he discovers his previous church, Hawthorne, is facing serious financial troubles. Zach gets his head in the game and uses his 24-karat magic to bring together these incredibly different choirs from incredibly different backgrounds to perform at state and controversially win
$10,000. $10,000. That was good.
I don't know that it's a Bruno Mars origin story, but I don't know that it's not a Bruno Mars
origin story. I do absolutely have that note that it's... He sounds like Bruno Mars.
Looks like Bruno. I've side-by-sided him. I was like...
I don't think anybody's as ugly as Bruno Mars is, though. He's one of the more unattractive people. Extremely talented. He knows that. He's got to know.
Hot take.
That's just it. It's a solid matter of fact.
Zachary's a little shorter guy, as I understand Bruno Mars.
Yeah, I think he's a little guy. Very king. Talented, very catchy, clever song.
Incredibly gifted.
I mean, he's not my type.
Listen, you said it with your whole chest.
Yeah.
There are those out there that would disagree, and they have every right to. This is where we're going to dive into the movie. We have some questions by which we unpack what we watched. We've consumed. You, the listener, if you saw it in 2008, you're now caught up to speed on what this movie is, what it's about. Let's talk about some things. Tim, going into this movie, what was something that was shocking to you about the film?
The most shocking thing was, one of the shocking things is just how much time these high schoolers are spending on roofs. Like every major discussion, every time that like somebody's throwing a fit, they're going up on the roof.
You go right to the roof.
I'm like, where are we living? How do you get up on these roofs? Like, who has access as like a 15-year-old to be just up on the roof of a place?
It's usually a special key for the roof access.
Right.
Yeah.
That was the most shocking thing to me.
Quick side note, maybe, is it roofs or roofs?
Is it hooves or is it hoofs?
It's hooves. So is it roofs?
I think it's roofs. I don't know.
I honestly don't know.
I think
as soon as you said it, I was like, is it roofs?
I don't know, but it's worth discussing right now. Well, I think it can be roofs because if you have like,
I think it's roofs.
If you goof something up and you have multiple goofs, it's not, you don't have goofs.
If you made more than one spoof movie, have you made spoofs? Oh, yes. The roof scenes were all shocking for a lot of reasons.
Uh-huh.
The
one scene where he's like throwing a fit. It's first thing he does, starts kicking stuff. He starts doing like twists. The first time you see him up on the roof before he sings a song, I think.
Right. Which it's clear you're making a movie and you're like, well, this is kind of a cool setting that we have access to by whatever means. But then practically you're like, boy, if you're going to start like angrily lashing around, the roof is not a first choice.
Yeah, no, and they're like not pretty. There's like drain pipes all over the place for the air conditioner. Yeah, right. There's wire. It's not good.
Right.
It's not like a romantic rooftop scene like in Paris or, Casablanca or something. Like, no, it's just a dirty roof.
Where the HVAC guy goes and spends most of
eats his lunch. Day. Yeah.
Right. I'm going to say what was shocking to me was just how poorly put together a $10,000 choir competition is.
Uh-huh.
It starts with a qualifying match where two teams from this qualifying match go on. Only three teams are coming.
Mm-hmm.
it's unclear what even is this choir competition, because some of them are from a church, some of them are from a school. There's an all-boys choir that's supposed to come.
Uh-huh.
I'm not sure. Now, I didn't do choir for a long time, so maybe that's it. Maybe it's just sort of a, it's run like beach volleyball, and it's the open division. Everybody just shows up from everywhere. But the first banner
was, oh my gosh, like, I have, mm-hmm.
comically
awful.
Like, my goodness, this is not a budget issue. This is a take your time with the markers issue.
Right. Well, I have that in my notes of, like, a character to see more of. I want to know more about the person who painted these signs, because it's just spray painted. Regional choir competition sign. I saw it and I'm like, is that a ransom note? Are they trying to, are they kidnapping these kids? Like, it looks like what they spray on the side of buildings in zombie movies. Yeah. Like, dead men into here. What?
And it's sort of moving, like, it doesn't go in a straight line. It's sort of moving up, like, like a first grader writing a birthday card or something.
Right, it's and it's the regional one. Like, this is supposed to be a big deal to lead up to the next competition.
So you had that. You had a timing issue where you had bingo scheduled to start, like, almost immediately. Like, they're rushing through the choir report. They had a whole other team who was supposed to go, and there's a bingo person there going, like, yes. Hey, I'm set up. I'm ready to rock.
Well, that leads me to my character to see more of. And you've hit two things now, but one is the bingo lady.
I wrote the bingo lady! Yes! I wrote the bingo lady as my character to see more of.
Yeah, I want to know what she was intimidating. She clearly had either some sort of, like, blackmail on the woman that was leading the competition. And she's like, but let's call her Greta.
Okay.
Greta is... she's in charge. She clearly runs the show.
Yes.
She's sitting here as, like, an audience member in this competition, but really she's there as, like, the mob boss.
Exactly what I had.
Because she looks down at her, and is like, oh, do we need to move on? Yes, Greta.
Right. Mm-hmm. Like, we will change the whole $10,000 choir competition.
Right. There's a bus full of kids on their way to, like, go sing, and Greta's like, mm-mm.
No, they're late.
They're out.
No, Greta was connected to the mob in some way. Mm-hmm. Because I also thought bingo's a great, like, weird, no one's going to ask any questions way to get some money around. You
launder
know what I'm
that
saying?
Cash, yeah.
You're like, oh, Tim just happened to win, you know, and here's his big wads of cash I can now give him in front of everybody and nobody's weirded out about it.
Mm-hmm.
Bingo lady I wanted to see more of. But we are jumping ahead because there just is so much to talk about. The poorly put togetherness of this choir. The fact that there was a rule book that was read about, like, can we combine the choirs? And it was like, yeah, she read the rule book from start to finish, and there you definitely can.
Well, yeah, that was Margaret. I think Margaret dropped some stuff here. But anyway, she missed something.
Somebody walks in and says, like, I don't feel good about two choirs becoming one choir. Like, it's just like, this is for $10,000, I kept saying. Like, this isn't... If you were giving a small trophy away, this was a summer camp competition.
See, that's funny because I was thinking $10,000. What's, like, they want $10,000 to save their church?
Yeah,
the $10,000 isn't going to save your church. You go. How many, like? No, it's not.
It's obviously, she said at the end of the movie, "This is going to do it."
Mm-hmm. You tell me what. Capital campaign at any church you've ever been at. They're like, you know what? All we need is $10,000 for this thing.
She looked.
To save the church. The church is getting shut down.
Right.
And it needs 10 grand.
They.
Like, I'll pull 10 grand out of my sock drawer and give it
to them. Listen, we're not all like you, okay? For some, this is a serious competition. Of all their organizational failures, they had a check written and cut at the time of to hand to someone. And the woman who was overseeing Hawthorne Church looked at that check and said, this'll do it.
That'll do.
This'll do it. What did it do is what you're questioning.
Yeah.
And that's not for us to know.
Like, you can't get a loan for... Sorry. Just so... So dumb.
$10,000. Okay. We already covered we both wanted to see more of the bingo lady. She was very, very interesting. Give me a character you wanted to see less of.
I've got kind of two here. One, the clearly the announcer at the state competition level, like the MC.
Yeah.
He reminds me of the MC in Little Miss Sunshine. Mm-hmm. I just hate him so much.
Yeah.
So that was an easy one to say. Like, I could have gone with none of him, but I've got kind of a backup. But I want to hear yours first.
Yeah. Mine was Dre.
Oh.
Birth name Andrea.
Wow.
And it's only because I just feel like there was a lot of misplaced frustration coming at her.
That's true.
So we had Zach gets he goes up to his roof access, which apparently Andrea has access to. Savannah lives across town. She's got access. Everybody can get up to his roof access. But Andrea, he's like, I'm just so bummed. My mom lost her job. Like, we're in a real issue here. I have to pack up all my things. And Andrea is actively mad at him. Like, I kept waiting for the part during that scene where she was going to, like, be like, man, this does suck, but we're still friends. And it never came. She just was mad at him the whole time.
Yeah.
Like, angry. Then the woman who's running the Hawthorne Church says, yeah, I've done everything I can. There's nothing else we can do. I'm so sad. I hate this, blah, blah, blah. And Dre is, again, angry at the woman who runs the church. Like, I'm so ticked at you right now. And she's like, oh no, I'm also upset. Like, I'm not doing something to you. I'm reporting a thing, actually. Both cases, I'm just telling you something that happened. I didn't do anything. And Andrea's very, very upset in both cases. And I was like, this is too much. I don't know why she's angry at these people for things that just happened outside of their control.
Teenage angst, man.
Teenage angst.
You go talk to my kids why they're angry. It's not about what they say it is. It's about something else.
How big is that teenage gap? What are we calling teenagers?
Well, I'm just saying.
Angst in general,
but yeah. Specifically a teenage angst.
That's probably, okay.
Yeah, it's volatile.
I got you. Who was your backup character
well,
you wanted to see less of?
So it was kind of Savannah's dad.
Oh, brutal.
Yeah. He reminds me of like a Steve, I think it's Steve Lemmy. Is the actor's name?
Give me a movie's in.
Oh, dang. I'm going to have to pause on this. I think that's his last name. Sorry. No, it's not Steve Lemmy. Sorry, I have to look it up. Different Steve.
Is it the one from...
The Wonders?
The Parent Trap?
No.
The Wonders? The band movie?
Yeah. What's his name?
Tom Hanks?
No, yeah. Steve.
He's the lead singer?
Steve. Dang it. I'm going to have to...
Yeah, the lead singer from The Wonders?
Yeah, what's the name of the movie?
Oh, That Thing You Do.
That Thing You Do.
Yeah. Doing that thing you do. This is the hold music for our listeners.
My heart
while they're on hold.
A million.
So that we can find the answer to this.
Steve Zahn. That's right.
Steve Zahn.
Sorry. Steve Lemmy is from Super Troopers. Dad... Savannah's dad reminds me of Steve Zahn, sort of like the look of Steve Zahn mixed with the acting chops of Tom Brady. Kind of reminds me of him. That song, that moment, he goes, if you ever get overwhelmed, you know what, you can do what your mother used to do. She would simply put a piece of bubble gum in her mouth,
yeah.
And she would blow a big bubble, and she would say a little prayer right before she did it. She'd say, dear God, make this bubble take away my trouble. I wrote it down. I went back and I wrote down the whole stupid line.
It was bad.
And he tried to deliver it. And then their argument in the room, really, like I said, bad. That argument was so brutal.
It was really, really tough. It felt like they were like reading cue cards they had never seen before. And they were trying to find the the emotion in the line while they were like, I'm just so upset about my mom, and I miss her so much,
like they didn't even know what happened to the character. Like, I think my mom, she died. Yes, my mom died. That's what she did. Mm-hmm. This is all news to me.
He's getting information in real time. What was that actor's name you were trying to find again? What was the name?
Steve Zahn.
Steve Zahn what?
Why do I fall into your stupid trap?
Steve's on what, though?
Your stupid trap. Of stupid.
That was a good one. It was good. He was tough in this movie. The dad.
Yeah,
he
but did you get the Tom Brady vibes? I got it.
Yeah.
Go back and watch it again. You see a couple, like, the way that he talks a little bit. You're like...
No, and even, like... Because when you see that out of Tom Brady, I think this is what you're saying, why the point is so good. You go, well, yeah, he's not an actor. Like, right. He's doing pretty good for somebody who's not an actor. Like, you know, he does fine on his little bit SNL thing he does.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't mean to compliment Tom Brady at all for being okay at acting. Like, he's not good.
That's what I'm saying. This is like, yeah.
I wouldn't even say, like, Peyton Manning's not an actor. And he does freaking great.
He's really funny. He's lovable. Unfortunately. Honestly, Tom's kind of funny, too. We've talked about this before. Different I don't know if it's someone funny on his team, but his social media stuff, the super cut of him running with a cheetah.
Yeah.
He's pretty funny. Pretty self-aware. Okay. Character. You want to see less of character? You want to see more of? We got into. We were shocked together. Give me... This is a hard question in mm-hmm. this one. Give me a low point. The low point. If you had to pinpoint a low point in this movie.
If I had to pinpoint a low point, it would be the movie.
When...
it would be every bit of the audio in this movie. Like, it was so brutal. And I don't say this a lot. Like, I try not to criticize some of the technical things, but like, whoever did the audio engineering or whatever happened in this film.
Right.
Like, something went berserk.
A choice and was made.
Some choice was made to try to fix it.
Yeah.
And it sounded like maybe they recorded in person and then came back in the studio and dubbed everything.
Right.
It sounded like dubbing from like a foreign right. movie.
Yeah.
There's a TV show I've watched. This isn't a Christian show, okay? Even though I get the podcast, it's called How to Sell Drugs Online Fast.
Oh, wow.
I know. Like I said, it's not prescription drugs, guys. actually, it is, but it's illegal. But it's like it's a German film it's a German series.
So
it like they have it dubbed, and it's just the audio throws you off, but you understand why it needs to be in there.
Right.
So anyway, it's...
But even then, because I watch Squid Games that way, because it's not natively in English, so they dub. There's two options. Right. You can do the
subtitles.
Are you a subtitles guy? Do you watch that?
No, no.
Oh man, we're so different
there. I know. You gave up a while back.
I love subtitles. So, but when you watch these, it's like...
Unless it's British, don't get me wrong. I can't follow along.
Can't understand a word they're saying.
Down Abbey was my...
So you get this like voice that comes in. But here's the difference. When that voice comes in on those shows, the other sounds are still happening. Like, that's what was bizarre about this movie was like...
Kind of, yeah. It was like...
Someone would high five. There'd be no sound.
Right. It was like they... Exactly. And they would like dub... It was like they dropped in some like bird sounds when they were outside.
Randomly.
Sometimes. But so you get that. So it sounds like they're outside. But... Oh my gosh. Yeah, no. It was baffling. I don't know what happened.
Stuff you take for granted, like when you watch a movie and they walk downstairs and it's just typical. You uh-huh. hear these sort of faint clink, footsteps. Clink, clink. So there'd mm-hmm. be just like you're watching this thing going like, did my TV break? Like, what happened?
Right. No, you nailed it. There was a point. I think it was a high five. The high five.
Yes.
There's
no sound.
Just nothing. Slap.
And for like, nothing. This is what was so confusing about that. For the, it's a musical. So like... The music, there were like musical numbers that were obviously produced and done. And
right.
So it's like someone was looking after the audio at some points.
Well, and then the musical stuff, like maybe they just thought like, well, if we're going to dub the musical audio later, just do it all. Just do the whole freaking thing.
This gave me the vibes. I don't want to speak into it. We weren't there at the production. But it's almost like a husband, just typically a husband. I don't want to stereotype too bad. But it's typically a husband who paints like an accent wall and is like, well, that looked good. I don't understand why we don't paint everything this color. Mm. And then you paint it, the whole house that color. And mm-hmm. then you go like, oh, there's a reason we only did that for part of the house. Mm-hmm. That's like how they handled the audio in this movie was, yeah, maybe during the scene. I doubt there's any live audio in a dance number in a musical. But you don't do that for the whole movie.
Right.
It was very jarring.
Right. It was like sometimes you need wood filler when you're doing a woodworking project. Right,
sure.
And it's like, no, they just took wood filler and crafted a bench out of it. Like, you can't sit on, that's not sustainable.
No real wood in there.
None of that's any good.
Okay, so my low point, and maybe I'm just too stuck on semantics. Maybe I'm just a competitor at heart. But my low point of the whole movie was the argument at the state competition. You had the student's name. Was it Margaret that presents the argument?
Yeah, Margaret, who changed outfits, evidently, in the middle of the competition.
At some point, she approaches the judges in her...
She was also the one who was supposed to know the legalese, and she dropped it. So, Margaret, like, you're dead to me.
So, Margaret comes from what we are presented as, like, the nicer part of town. Tough to swallow because actively in one of the classrooms, there's a huge paint chipping off the wall right behind Zachary. Uh-huh. So it was hard to really know, oh, that's like the better part of town. I think that's what you're presenting. But it carries on. So Margaret comes from that place. They're not hard up for money. It's mentioned a couple times from Dre that Zachary has moved to a place with money. Again, I didn't really see the peripheral like evidence of that, but let's go with the story that they had money over there. So then Margaret presents this argument, and the result of the argument is like, I'll tell you what, I'd hate for you guys to come all this way. How about you can sing, but there's no way you can win any money? And Margaret's like,
deal.
I did it. I fixed it. I fixed the problem. It's like, but based on the story, there's a whole church that is actually depending on this $10,000 to continue surviving. And you presented this very frail argument where really you just quoted a Bible verse. That was the whole presentation of an argument that I don't even know really how it factored in into the discussion that we were having. And then you say, oh, we just win no money. Sounds good to me. That's fine. And then hug. They hug over this result. Like, well, it's not like, I guess that's all we got right now. They're like Savannah looks at her like, Margaret, you did it. We did that.
Savannah doesn't need anything.
It was just.
By the way, I don't know what you think about this, but Savannah, her dad called her Savannah Banana.
Yeah.
And he called her, this is years before, like the Savannah Bananas actually established in like 2016. And this was 2008.
Christian School Musical invent the Savannah Bananas? Is that what you're suggesting?
That's what I'm saying. They had to. They reinvented baseball.
Oh man, I forgot to mention this, and it just hit me because this money situation was really throwing me the whole movie. And at one point, Dre is like kind of getting on Zach about it.
I think I know what you're going to say. If not, I've got one connected. But go.
And she's like, "This is again my character. I want to see less of." She's like, you're moving up to the other side of the tracks and you're going to have all this money, stuff like that. Again, for context, his mom, his sole provider of income, just lost her job.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't really think this was like a strategy to move up in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Is to have like your one single parent while your dad's off at military.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I don't know why we couldn't have named one brand.
No.
Very serious phone call.
Copyright issues.
Where he says military called. I just lost it. Military called. Like, she might have been pranked. That might have been a spam call. I don't think there's a military office.
There's got to be a main office.
I think. For a brand?
No, for all of them. Like, what do you...
It comes right from the executive. President?
Yes, you call military and it gets you the Louise. Vice president.
Did you? Was that what you had?
Or the Secretary of State? No. My comment was it was about Dre. I think she's the one who said the line, but they're like the Hawthorne Church choir says to someone. I think it was Zach. We don't need your charity.
Oh yeah.
And Hawthorne, it's like, says that, yeah. Oh. Yeah, no, that's literally the premise of the movie is that they do need your charity, and you are a church, and you need charitable giving contributions to go to you to keep you afloat. That is quite literally the point of this movie, is that we do. But thank you for pointing that out, Dre.
We do.
That we don't. Everybody, I want to see, like, the parents behind her going, no, shh, we do.
We need.
We sure do.
We need that.
Don't screw this up, Dre.
We're in that business. We get it. We give it. It's really the whole, everything we do revolves around that concept. Man, oh man. My other low point that I just, again, there's just a lot of low points.
My gosh, I've got plenty.
And I know we can't just go on forever.
We can.
But there's a dance in the choir room where, like, Zach is kind of, like, gelling with the Crossroads choir. And some of the dance shots that we get out of that were, like, so brutal that I just was this whole scene. And also he dropped a line in that was confusing. This was his line. Hip-hop, rock and roll, rhythm and blues. It's all the same. I was like...
It's music, man. It's music.
I guess, technically, yeah, it's like music is all... But they're also very different in other ways.
Right, right. One of my favorite other low moments was Savannah and Zach talking, and he says something about, like, he talks about her life and, like, her life being so easy.
So easy.
And like, oh, it's so easy. You got everything so easy. And she goes, well, actually, my mom died a couple months ago. Which is not funny, but the way she handled that line was like, yeah, I mean, actually, my mom died, so it's not that easy. Okay, well, right. Thanks. And then his response was like, yeah, I know how you feel. My dad is in the military. You know, he's alive and stuff. He's fine. I just don't hear from him very often. But I get it. I totally get having a dead mom.
Right, you're some of the way there, I guess. Zach and Savannah's interactions there wasn't a ton of chemistry there. I did make a note of a, he says at one point, you just seem like you got it all together. This is when he first there. It's like, you know, you're student council president. You're in charge of the choir, you know, something about top of the class and you know how to use eggs in the like fortune cookie class that they were in, which the teacher taught in a suit and tie. Again, there's so many little things about this movie, but he mentions all these things.
Dress for the job you want, not the job you have.
It's true. There's so many little things. But I remember distinctively thinking what the movie showed us after that line was Savannah actively being bad at all of those things. So, like, yeah, she leads the choir, which is terrible. Mm-hmm. No, they're no good. Everybody knows it. She has eggs under control. She drops all the eggs into the thing when she's supposed to do the egg whites. She's supposed to be, like, top of the class. She's getting questions wrong when being quizzed by her dad. Based on what I'm seeing from Savannah, it doesn't really seem like she has any of those things under control. But I guess we're conceptually. She has some things.
She's a lot going on. Just none of it is under control.
None of it's under. Yes, that's the better way to say it.
Did you notice the 3x5 picture frame above the dining room table at Zachary's house? This is like a family portrait, and it's about the size of, like, the palm of your hand. Like, where a normal family portrait would be is, like, they stuck it up on a set.
Dude, I have to go back and buy that now.
You don't. It's not worth that much time, but...
I love it, though. There was a moment in the districts, or what is it, regional? One thing I'm a sucker for with choir movies, though, is the regional idea. I just love that. We're always prepping for regionals, you know? It's like... nobody knows what it means. You're just like, I don't know. It's the regional part of the competition.
Yeah.
It's step one. The woman who was like the host, I guess, for regionals, there was an old school picture of Jesus, like, right in the shot, right over her shoulder. And in my take, I was getting from that Jesus painting the look of, like, please, please don't bring me into this movie. I don't want to be in this movie.
Good old white Jesus.
I also love that painting was in, like, a lot of the churches, I remember.
Oh, yeah.
That was, like, classic. That one painting. There's a couple of things in, like, early church, or my experience of the early, of when I was young going to church.
Footprints in the sand and that Jesus picture.
Footprints in the sand, yeah. That. And then there was always a table that said, this do in remembrance of me. Uh-huh. And it was the same table.
Uh-huh.
And it's, like, some salesperson got a hold of it.
Right. Well, it's like the You Are Special plate. Like, you sold it to all the people at that period of time in the early 90s, and everybody got one.
There is a billionaire somewhere. You're like, oh, did you start the tech company or something? Like, no, I painted that Jesus painting that everybody bought.
For whatever reason.
And I just retired. I never painted another thing.
And I looked at it, and I was like, is it white enough? And everybody was like, not yet.
Okay, high points.
Okay. So honestly, there was a moment, and I know it's cheesy, but it always gets me. So, when Andrea and Zach are singing His Eyes on the Sparrow, when Zach's dad walks in, the military dad walks in, the first time he's seen him, they were already doing a pretty good rendition of it as far as I was concerned. And then he walks in and like you see the energy. It was like fairly moving, and I know that's that's so cheesy, but
no, I hate what a automatic like that is for
I
me. Know,
and I'm not even like a I'm not really like a big military guy because I don't think we need to be like killing all sorts of people.
Personal connection,
right? But the idea anytime there's the idea of someone is separated, especially for, like from their kids for whatever it is, whatever, no matter what kind of work it is or wherever you're doing, like you're off somewhere and you come back. That like. All the videos of like kids seeing their parents for the first time or their brother or sister at a sports competition. I'm done. I'm toast.
Done. Honestly, it's as bad. It's so bad for me. The Bluey show when Rusty's dad comes in. It's an episode.
Freaking Rusty.
There's two episodes. One where Rusty's dad shows up at the end with the evaporated milk. What's the milk?
Condensed milk.
Condensed milk. Thank you. Evaporated milk would be a crappy gift.
I think all of them are crappy gifts, but go on.
Rusty's dad shows up and I just watch it with my kids every time. And then there's one of the newer ones where he's learning how to play cricket and his dad's got to teach him over letter. And I just, Crosby likes it because it's sports and I'm literally.
We have to get back on track, Ant. This is not a Bluey podcast.
I'm sorry.
We do that separately.
My high point was, and you alluded to it actually. This is one thing I want to be with this podcast. Like you're getting the vibe, hopefully, of the movie and our take on it. I want to say, you alluded to it, the music was pretty good. Like I thought the music was, there's a couple of the songs that really did. And my high point, when the choirs became friends, that song, I was like, this is a bop. They played it at the end of the movie too. I forget what it was called, but it was something about like, I've got something I want to do and I'll do it better if you do it with me and we can do this together. And I just was watching the movie going like, this is a fine song. I have no issues with this song.
Yeah. I mean, see there was one that got me that I wrote a note on, and it was like, you're not the boss of me, but it sort of sounded like it was a mix between, like a Lin-Manuel Miranda song and a Doc McStuffins song.
Yes.
And so it wasn't...
Wow.
That one wasn't good.
That is perfect.
But if you can pull that side by side with one of the... Like the Doc McStuffins songs, I think people will see what I'm talking about.
I think it would
be
identical. I think, yeah, Chris's involvement. Like Chris wasn't involved in that song. The Zachary character.
Yeah.
Like I think that dude is talented. I actually went on a little rabbit hole, and he's got one song out on Spotify. He's pushing right now.
Oh.
It's not bad.
Oh.
I think the guy's just good at music. He's a good dancer. Like he's reminds me of Bruno Mars.
Yourself?
not myself. Bruno Mars, as I've alluded to. But yeah, I thought that one song at that moment was real solid. And like you say, His Eyes on the Sparrow, they did a little, this little light of mine at the beginning. I was like, yeah, this music is, it's like you had that was cool going into this.
Mm-hmm.
And the story you kind of put around it was hit or miss, mostly miss. How many raised hands emojis out of 5?
I feel like I'm being generous by giving it 2.
Yeah.
And so I want to stick with 1.5.
Yeah.
Like it had its moments, but it had way more not moments for me.
I want to say that's right in there. I gave it 2 numbers, and I think I've defend both of these. The first number is quality of movie. Like you're going to see a movie, I have to respect the system and give it 1.
Yeah,
it cannot be higher
for
than
sure,
1.
For sure.
But if you are looking for a B grade movie that will make you giggle if you watch it with your friends, I have this at like a 4 or 5. It's the cheese level is high enough, the goofiness of it is high enough that it's squarely in that category. Do not come to this looking for a quality story and movie.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're in like a Sharknado state of mind, this is fine. You're gonna giggle because I don't know how else to explain it. I think we've talked about it a lot. Oh my gosh. I'm looking through my notes. I had to say one more thing. The final song they do, the mics that they're holding are aggressively not plugged in. And I understand that, like, we all know when you watch these movies, the mic's probably not plugged in. But they are literally holding and they don't use them much anymore, but these little stubby mics, you and I both used them,
uh-huh.
where the cord the plugs into the bottom.
DXLR, yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It's got those three plugs pointing right at the camera, screaming, I'm not plugged in. I don't know why you don't just plug them in just for grins. Don't plug it the back end into anything. But boy, it was just like, that was right at the peak of the thing. They're doing a good job in the song. And I look and I'm like, golly, guys, those mics are very obviously not plugged in. Give us a little something.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think that like the detail czar was on staff in this movie.
Script supervisor.
That's what it's called. I like details are better.
Details are would be, if you held the position, you would change it, I think, to that.
Right.
Yeah. This was a doozy, guys. This was a doozy. I think it'd be a fun one to do with your friends, though. If you're looking for some B-movie Christian content, it's right up your alley. It's free on Tubi.
Yeah, not my friends.
This was sent in to us by a listener. So, shouts out. Bible was a funny audience.
So do we block this person? Is that how how this works?
I love them for it. This was I loved it. Sunday School Musical, man. This is what you're going to this for. You got it out of this. If you want to hear high five sounds, this is not the
movie. Not the movie you want. No. No.
All right. Well, Tim, thanks for giving your time,
yeah. And thanks, energy to this. Thanks, yeah. Thanks for letting me do this with you. It's always a pleasure.
I know it's your favorite part of the week,
mm-hmm.
listeners. We need you to help us find these movies. We rely on you to send these in. We've got some already. We've got that you send us that we're looking through. But whatever Christian movie you've experienced, please send it along. You can send it to @TheBibleIsFunny on Instagram. I'd love to chat with you there about whatever Christian movie has made an impact on you. And we'll see if maybe I'll make Tim watch it. That's the whole game. You send it to me and I see if I'm going to make Tim watch it.
Yeah, we'll see.
We love you guys. We'll be back with another episode here real, real soon.
Can't wait.
Bye.
Later.